In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the new martyrs of the Turkish yoke. We commemorate them on the third Sunday after Pentecost. And they're one of my favorite sets of martyrs. In fact, I commemorate one of them in the ending exclamation all the time, Timothy of Esphigmenu, very dear saint to me because of his love. Now, I want to tell you some things at the end of his life to sort of summarize. Because if we don't learn from a life of a saint, what good is it to know the life? If we don't learn from the gospel, what good is it to know the gospel? If we don't change our behavior because we partake of the Eucharist, what good is it to partake of the Eucharist? All these things that we do are so that we become better. But I'll tell you one thing first that I'll hit on again. Love is willing to be dangerous. Love is willing to take risks. Love is willing to do the unthinkable. Love is very powerful. Everything that you do in your life should be motivated by love. And to put it in a crude way, love very often thinks outside the box. This is what St. Timothy did. So he was born with the name Triantaphilos, and he was in Asia Minor, and he was a Christian man and married and had two daughters. And his wife was beautiful. And so some Muslim, because they were under Turkish occupation for 500 years, and this was in about 1800 something, saw his wife and lusted for her and decided to take her because he could. And so he did. He took her and brought her into his harem, forcibly converted her to the Muslim faith, and made her one of his wives. St. Timothy was obviously very saddened by this. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't just go and march in there and take his wife back. They would kill him. He had two daughters to take care of. He arranged for their safety because they were beautiful, and he moved them sort of more into the country where they'd be safer with relatives. This kind of thing is happening today. Let's not think that this is ancient history. This is happening today in places like Egypt. It happens all the time. I don't know why people sometimes say or believe things like that the Islamic religion is a religion of peace. It's not remotely close to that. It's a demonic religion. And any time that Muslims take over an area, they subjugate the people. And part of that subjugation is the sexual slavery of its inhabitants, according to their whims. And so Triantaphilos' wife was put into sexual slavery, basically. I mean, it had the patina of something decent in being married in the harem, but it was really sexual slavery. He wanted to save his daughters from that, and he wanted to save his wife. So he would, through intermediaries, communicate with her and rebuke her and tell her, you've lost your soul if you don't come back to the Christian faith. And she repented and wanted to become again a Christian and repudiate the Muslim religion and get away from the harem. But how to do that? You can't just march in and take her. But the Muslims, they loved a lot of things that were worldly. They loved money. And so you can always make a monetary exchange. So he came up with this idea, and this is where I'm talking about love thinking outside the box. Love doing something that is like unthinkable, outrageous. I hope you have the courage to be outrageous. I also hope you have the wisdom to not be stupid. Outrageous is not stupid. St. Timothy, soon to be Timothy, he decided he would feign being a Muslim. He would go to the legal apparatus and say, I'll become a Muslim if you give me back my wife. And of course, let's not kid each other. There was a lot of money exchanged. And so he did that. And he got her back. Then he had to feign living as a Muslim. So he had to basically appear to be a Muslim with his wife, and that must have really hurt his heart very deeply. So he came up with the idea. They were being watched all the time, because even though they took their money, the Muslims didn't believe that he really had converted. They decided, he and his wife, to run away. She would go to a convent, and he would go to the Holy Mountain. They arranged, probably their children were back with them at this point, They arranged for their children to be with relatives in safety, and that's what they did. They ran away. She went to a convent to work out her salvation, and he to Mount Athos, first to the Lavra of St. Athanasius, And he was soon tonsured to the little schema with the name of, I don't remember his name, it might have been Timothy, but he was later tonsured to the great schema. Sometimes they change the name. So his final name was Timothy. And in the great Lavra of St. Athanasius, he struggled and prayed, and he talked to his spiritual father all the time that he had done this apostasy for the sake of his wife, and it really weighed on his conscience. And his spiritual father said, "My son, you did it for love. You saved her, and God will forgive you your sin. You just pray, you fast, you live the Christian life here in the monastery." But he was just obsessed with this idea. He was a very obedient monk, hardworking monk, but he also was obsessed with this idea that he wanted to make witness that he was a Christian to the Muslims. And so he heard about the martyrdom of the martyr Agathangelos of Esfigmenu. This is a man who had formerly apostatized, but then repented and made his witness before the Muslim authorities. And the Muslims were especially brutal upon someone who had converted from the Muslim religion to the Christian religion, or a Christian who had apostatized and then comes back. They didn't like that at all. So he was killed. He was martyred. And news of him was known to all the Christians. And St. Timothy was inflamed with desire through the prayers of St. Agathangelos, who had made his martyrdom in his generation, to endure martyrdom. So he asked a blessing to move to Esfigmenu. And the relics of St. Agathangelos were there, so he prayed before his relics every day. And he sort of went into a boot camp to learn to be ready for martyrdom. Because it's one thing to say you're ready for martyrdom. It's another thing when they bring up the instruments of torture or the noose. And so he fasted and prayed and did obediences with his abbot. And then he heard of an elder, Germanos, who had trained St. Agathangelos. And he asked for a blessing to go to this elder. And this elder was somewhere off of the mountain. And so he went. But before he went, he asked his abbot for permission because he was going to pass through the city that was where his daughters were. He wanted to greet his daughters and tell his daughters what happened and that their mother was okay and that he was okay and all those sorts of things. Normal stuff that you'd want to do. The abbot did not give the blessing. Some of you might think that's cruel, but the abbot understood. What if he sees his daughters and he loses his resolve, and then later on he's picked up by the authorities, and then he apostatizes? So he said, "No, you can't see your daughters." So he was passing by the outskirts of the city, and he saw someone he knew, and they said, "Hello." And then that person went and told the daughters, "He's here." So they ran after him, and he ran away. He ran from his daughters. Can you imagine the scene? His daughters, "Daddy, Daddy," they haven't seen him in how many years. And he's running away from them, not saying a word to them, not speaking to them, just running. Of course he wanted to explain, but he had an obedience and he fulfilled it. If we ever have iconography in this church, that's one of the icons I want. I want the icon of St. Timothy running away from his daughters. Obedience is also outrageous. And love being outrageous sometimes makes us do things that we don't want to do. So St. Timothy obeyed, and he was able to make his martyrdom, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Don't look at appearances. Often appearances are just not true. It looked like he didn't love his daughters or that he was callous. This is very far from the truth. He was obedient, and he won his salvation, and I'm sure the salvation of his daughters and his wife. So he goes to St. Germanos, and he's in training now, really strict training, to be able to be martyred. And so he was joined at that time by a Hiero monk named Euthymius, who was inflamed also with a desire to make his witness about Jesus Christ before the Muslims. And so they went to a city after their training. They went to a city to meet with Christians and to try to talk to them about their apostasy, because many Christians had apostatized. There was a lot of pressure to apostatize. There was monetary pressure. There was pressure that your daughters were not safe. Your daughters would be safe if you would apostatize. You'd have better food, better living conditions, better job if you apostatize. There was a lot of pressure to do that. And so many Christians did. And he was told to go to some of them and speak to them. Of course, that was a dangerous job. That was a job that was not going to last very long. You might help some people out, but eventually you're going to be discovered. And so he had gone to a friend of his. Oh, I forgot to tell you one other thing. He again asked, because he was obedient, but that doesn't mean he wasn't human. He wanted to see his daughters. He was going to be near them again. And he said the Señor Manaus did not give him a blessing to do so. So this time he didn't even go near the city where they were at. And he went to a former friend who had been a Christian and had apostatized and talked to him about the Christian faith. This person was bitter and went to the authorities and turned him in. So he was put in prison. Now during that time, two other people were put in prison, and their names were Barnabas and Nicholas, and they had a very fiendish way of torturing them. If you torture people too much, they die. But if you torture them just right, you can keep torturing them. And it just so happens that the feet are very, very tender. And you can beat people about their feet for a long time, and they don't die. But the pain is excruciating. So what they did is they put these two martyrs to be, and they actually ended up being confessors. Eventually they were actually released, but not before they were tortured tremendously. They put their feet in stocks and they would beat them. They started with 38 blows on their feet, and then they increased it by 2 every day for a month. And St. Timothy was aware that this was happening, and he was filled with this incredible desire to endure martyrdom. And I have to turn to the, I took notes, but I knew all this stuff, but now I don't know the real, some of the details. So then St. Timothy and Euthymios were brought before the tribunal and said, you know, will you give up your foolish faith in a false god and become a Muslim again or whatever? And he said no. So they were put into prison. Euthymios was beaten like these confessors were. St. Timothy was left alone. In a way, that's more diabolical. You're left alone to be afraid of what might happen. And then the martyrs were together, but one was being hurt and one wasn't. But they wanted to receive the holy mysteries before their death. So they devised a plan through an intermediary. They got their spiritual father, St. Germanos, to be reported for not having paid his taxes. Remember, the Turks, they love their money. So he was put into prison because he hadn't paid his taxes. And of course, he had arranged, when he got put in prison, he brought the holy mysteries. So they prayed all the night and received the mysteries in the morning. And then Euthymios was martyred, and St. Timothy later on was beheaded, probably after much other torture. Now, St. Timothy, remember, had run away from his daughters. They didn't know what had happened to him. They had no idea. They just knew that their dad ran away from them. And they didn't know where their mom was. So St. Germanos was able to procure the garments of Timothy after he was beheaded, and took his garments and brought them and brought a portion to the daughters and told them of their father's martyric witness, and brought then the other parts of the garments, and brought them to Esphigmena, where they remain to this day. And they're with they're near the relics of St. Agathangelus. It's really a marvelous story. What are we to take from this story? I hope you take a lot of things from this story. I hope you look at yourself and say, what's wrong with me? Why am I not acting more like a Christian? That's what I hope you're thinking. I hope you're thinking, why dare I be lazy or ignorant or not read the Bible that's easy for me to have? I can have 15 Bibles on my shelf and they all get dusty. And these poor Christians didn't have one. We should rebuke ourselves for being so lazy, so indolent, when there are people suffering. And to this day, people are suffering. People are being beheaded in Syria. It's not so much in the news anymore, but it's happening. And there's terrible things happening all over the world, many of them incited by our own government in the United States. May God forgive them. People are suffering for their faith now. That's why I pray for people in the liturgy and in the services. I hope you hear those petitions. I hope that you've made those petitions your own. I hope you pray for people that are suffering and being martyred today. Another thing I think we should draw from this story is what I've already told you, but I think it needs to be said again. Love does dangerous things. Love does not think of itself. It thinks of the one that it loves. St. Timothy loved his wife. He would do anything for her to be saved. So he did something crazy, but God was with him because of love. You should be willing to do dangerous things. You should be willing to be outside of yourself. Think less of yourself and more of others. Of course, when you do dangerous things, sometimes things don't appear so good. I remember another story. This is from ancient Egypt. Abijan the dwarf knew someone who had been an almsgiver to the monks, but then she fell into penury and became a prostitute. So he went to avail himself, apparently, of her services. So he's waiting in the room for her to come in, just as Abijan. And she sees him and starts to weep. And she asks him, "How can I be saved?" And he took her away. But of course, it would look very strange for a monk to come to a house of prostitution and to wait in the room for the prostitute. Those appearances are not so good. But St. John, he loved outrageously, and he saved her. Now, of course, if a person has any sexual problems, they shouldn't do that. If they have any temptations, they shouldn't do that. St. John was pure and courageous. And we should try to be pure and courageous like St. John, like St. Timothy. And not care about the appearances, how we look to other people. What matters is, are you loving with all of your heart to other people? The love of God within you, is it coming out of you? Or is your heart so small that there's not even room for any love to get in it? We have to love outrageously and dangerously. Also, things don't happen in isolation. Look at all the people that were involved in St. Timothy's martyrdom. There was Agathangelos, someone he didn't even know, but who inspired him. And then he prayed to him and asked his help. And there was Barnabas and Nicholas, the ones who were beaten. Later on, they were released and they were shamed and just driven out. So they were not technically martyrs, although I think they made their witness, don't you think? There was St. Germanos, the hieromonk who trained Agathangelos and trained Timothy. There was the abbot of the monastery of St. Athanasios and also Esphigmenou, who helped him. And no doubt St. Timothy prayed to many of saints asking for help. And he trusted in the prayers of his spiritual father. There's a monastic custom. It really should be a custom that you have as well. That you don't do anything. You do things by the mercy of God and by the prayers of your spiritual father. That's what a monk thinks. No matter what he does that's good, he knows that he does it only by the grace of God and by the prayers of his spiritual father. It's not because of him. And if he does anything bad, it's because he's been disobedient. That's how we should think. Nothing happens in isolation. We're a community, both of people that we see and people that we don't see. These are the kinds of things that I wanted you to learn from the martyrdom of St. Timothy. It's a wonderful story. And that's why I ask his prayers every day, and that's why I always mention him in the services, in every service, because of his great martyrdom. He did outrageous things. Do you have the guts to do outrageous things? Or are you asleep? Do you love outrageously, dangerously? That's what Christians do. That's what St. Timothy did. With the prayers of the holy new martyr Timothy of Esphigmenou, O Lord Jesus Christ, O God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.